Blog Talk Radio.
Show it again, with a whole lot more to come. What's going on, DA?
What's going on, Minister Miller? How you?
Chilling, man, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm looking forward to this show, man, you know what I mean? Another show. And listen, DA, you going to take the floor in a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just give them like 2 minutes because some of the people calling in. So everybody just stay tuned for 1 sec. 2 minutes, and we'd be right back. Church Radio 2014. Listen, tonight's topic, I'm going to put it in the hands of my main man, DA. Go ahead and start it from here, bro.
Does your religion make you an Uncle Tom? What does that mean? What does that mean? A lot of times we hear that term, Uncle Tom, thrown around in the black community. And in a lot of ways, but one particular way is one black man selling out another black man for something. But now we're actually taking it a little bit deeper, a little bit further into Mr. Uncle Tom. We are putting it in the religious aspect of it, and how can someone be an Uncle Tom through religion? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about how can someone be an Uncle Tom through religion? What does it mean? What does it mean to be an Uncle Tom in a religion? Is it possible? Is it not possible? These are the things that we're going to be discussing tonight. I hope everybody's ready because, again, like I said, new year, a new DA. This DA, Mr. Devil's Advocate, no holds bar. And I know Minister Miller, 2014, he's totally revamped Minister Miller. And when he goes hard, he goes hard. With no excuses, no remorse, and no regrets. So, everybody be warned, if you are if you are lighthearted and you're one of the people who can't take criticism, or you know, you are a very emotional type of person where you just can't handle certain conversations, well, I suggest you just listen and not say anything, or don't even bother to listen to what we're going to talk about, because this is Dirty Church, where conversations and discussions have no limits. Let's go.
Well, listen, at first, the definition of Uncle Tom, one definition, which I consider to be one of the main ones, says a black man considered to be excessively obedient or servile. That's the meaning that I looked up. And if anyone has any different meanings or different ways of saying it, you could do so at this time. I believe I see another number on here. It looks familiar. It looks,
yes, sir.
Does it look like a minion? is that a minion's number? Okay. I was just wondering. This looked like a minion. How you doing? What's going on, X?
Hello, Mr. X Catholic. Are you there?
Oh no, I'm sorry. My phone is jailbroken, and it just
resprung all by itself.
Oh, okay, okay.
Sorry about that.
It's all good. Do you want to hear a couple other definitions?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
A black man who will do anything to stay in good standing with the white man, including betray his own people. Let's give you an example. Leroy is such an Uncle Tom, he told the boss I took a 2-hour lunch and I had to go see my baby mama. That's just one example.
Okay.
There are different ones of an Uncle Tom. And listen, tonight we're going to deal with that Uncle Tom character. And I know we all came across it in many different forms, many different ways. You know what's crazy? You might have a boy or a family member that will be considered an Uncle Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because we put it this way. It was a movie that I watched earlier this week. It was called Would You Rather? I believe that was the name of the movie. And the movie was about a twisted game of putting the individual in a situation where he would have to make a choice whether he would mainly sacrifice himself or someone else. Make him, you know, make hard choices. So, do you know anyone?
Wait, can I ask you a quick question? Can I ask you a quick question about that? If somebody asked you whether you would sacrifice yourself or someone else and tells you that's your choice, really, like, I just want to know from both of you, do you really feel like that's an actual choice or that's more like an ultimatum kind of?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's a choice.
Even in the ultimatum, though, you still have to make a choice. You're still going to choose.
I mean, I understand the technical, choice.
You can't escape the choice, though. Even though it's an ultimatum, there's still a choice that's going to be made, especially if there's two options. You're still going to have to choose something. Even if I got the gun to your head. Jump off the building or stab yourself in the leg. You have no choice. You have to do one of them, but you're going to choose one. Or hold up. Really, there's three choices. Stab yourself in the leg, jump off the building, or take the bullet that I got in this gun.
Yeah, see, I don't necessarily think that would be considered a choice. But I mean, to each their own. I mean, you know, I don't necessarily see that as being a choice. I know choice in the technical term of the word meaning this or that, but choice in the sense of my own choice. Like, it's really up to me. I don't think so, because basically someone is choosing for me, and I just have to basically.
No.
Because I'm bound by
your choice.
No, you
have to choose. You're choosing one of the options. Just like if you went on a game show and it's three options, pick door number one, pick door number two, right? Pick door number three. You're a part of the game now. You're on the show.
Yeah, but once you make me part of the game and I'm going by the game's rules, then really I have to follow whatever options you're giving me. And to me, that's not really, you know, a choice.
Hold up. No, you don't. You don't. Listen, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do none of my choices. You don't have to pick none of them. You can.
But then I'm not in the game anymore.
That's a choice.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, we differ from terms, because I don't consider that to be a choice. I actually consider that to be a demand.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Because when I'm looking at two slaves, you a house slave and a field slave, I'm not looking at it like, oh well, this one should have been more obedient and made the choice to be the house slave. I'm looking at it like, hey, you don't really have any choices here that are your own. You basically just have to do one of the two that was given to you.
Do you really?
Because death isn't a choice.
No.
Now, I can see if I wanted to take
Hold
my
up.
Own life, that's a
Hold
different
up.
Story.
You said death isn't a choice?
No. Death isn't a choice if actually someone puts a gun to my in my head. Now, if I put my own gun to my head, then that's my choice, because I'm actually doing it. But if someone puts a gun to my head, it's not that much of a choice.
It's not a choice.
Because death isn't a choice.
It's a demand.
Hold up. You ever seen State Property, the movie State Property with Beanie Sigel?
Get down and lay down.
With Beanie Sigel,
Get down and lay down.
Yeah.
Right?
The gun
is what got their attention to pay attention to what's going on. But inside of it, one dude chose to run. The other dudes got down. They got down. The dude who chose to run, the consequence of that choice, that's what happened. It's still a choice.
I guess there's two facets of choice: personal choice and the choice that you've been given.
I understand. I still don't see that as being a choice. A personal choice is something you actually choose for yourself.
Yourself. I'd rather hit him in the head with the bat than stab myself in the leg. It's a choice.
No. I'm not necessarily talking about. I'm saying death.
But that's what
death
I'm talking about. I gave y'all the example of the movie. Would you rather? The movie of Would You Rather and the twisted game that they played. And in the game, they all came to the table with the option to win a game. Doing the full stakes of the game until they totally committed to playing to the game. Now, once they played the game, now you're playing the game. You're in the game. Regardless of what, my choice is I'm picking my gun up and I'm saying, listen, one of these things you're going to choose. I don't know which one you're going to choose, but based on your fear and what's on inside of you, you're going to make a choice.
Like I said, if someone is choosing for me and I have no choice but to actually...
How can someone choose for you, Aaron?
By limiting your options.
Yeah.
But even in the limited option, there's still a choice.
Yeah, but it's no longer my choice. It's the choice you have given me.
Exactly.
Because if I chose, I would leave. But I can't leave because you won't let me. So what do I have in that?
No, but listen.
Yes.
We're talking about choice, though. Right now. Whatever situation you're in, my whole point is whatever situation you're put in, you have to make a choice. Whether you were forced in the situation, but really, you're still not forced. And I think we had this conversation again. If I came to you and I had a knife and I said, give me your wallet, you have a choice now. You can give me your wallet or you can choose to fight me or you can choose to try to run and escape. And
but
so
either way, you're forcing his hand.
No, yeah, and not only that, but how about I give you this scenario? How about I was actually born on a slave plantation and I don't want to be a slave?
But you're given a choice to be a hardcore slave outside or be a softcore slave inside. Either way,
there were some slaves, though, that had a mentality, as long as I live, every opportunity, I'm going to try to escape. There were some slaves who said...
That's a survivalist. That's a survivalist.
No, but what I'm saying is, that it's still choices that people make. Some people get comfortable and like, yo, I might as well just, it's better for me to join them. If you can't beat them, join them. Some people have that mentality. So in any situation you're in, you're going to make a choice.
Well, to actually come back on the topic at hand of being an Uncle Slave, I mean, being an Uncle Sam, I would actually call myself an Uncle Sam at times.
You said Uncle Tom.
I mean, I'm sorry, Uncle Tom. I would actually call myself an Uncle Tom at times.
If you want to survive,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's my whole point. That's my whole point of this show. Even put it this way: does your fear of hell make you an Uncle Tom?
Yep.
And I'm
quite sure.
Yeah, because it's better for me to live this way than to actually feel the wrath and the consequences
of God.
Of God, hell, judgment, or whatever. So does it put you in an Uncle Tom situation?
Yeah, I really believe so. And I think religion is the biggest modern place now where people have become Uncle Toms just off of shared tradition on how religion is set up.
Yeah, you're basically a slave to it, and you have an option of whether it's just like the slave, whether he's going to be a hardcore slave or a softcore slave. In the religion, you're either going to be this type of religious person or that type of religious person. Either way, they're putting you under one umbrella, and you have to choose.
And that's my whole point. You have to choose. You have to choose. So my thing, could you give me modern day Uncle Tom situations?
Dealing with religion? Yes,
religion,
I believe I could.
Not just with religion, being a man, a husband. I mean, just give me some different scenarios of what you would consider you having an Uncle Tom moment.
Not wanting to lose my job, so I know Frank over here is stealing, but the only reason why he's stealing is because, yo, he works in the mailroom and he only makes $7.50 an hour, and they're not necessarily trying to promote him, and you know this dude is a hard working dude, but I'm put in a position where he got caught. And now they're asking me to say, yo, you either tell us he did it because we know you know because you were there, or you don't say anything and you get fired.
Okay.
What do you think I'm going to do? Do you think I'm going to say, yo, man, listen, I understand you're paying, yo, and listen, I'm with you on this, and I'm going to ride out with you, and both of us are going to be unemployed, and my wife just might leave me because now I'm unemployed because I was taking up for him.
Now, understand.
When he was wrong.
Understand. Wait, understand that me, the type of person I am, I'm not that type. He would, but I'm not that type. I'm not the type that I would rather be homeless figuring it out with my family than snitching on whatever his name was. You know what I'm saying? That, just so we understand that some people are still different in that aspect.
Yeah.
Okay. I definitely can understand. I definitely can understand that. I really can understand that.
So the question I'm asking myself, number one, people automatically assume once they hear the title of the show that, well, we're kind of bad-mouthing Uncle Tom. To me, I'm actually just looking at an Uncle Tom like a survivalist. Like, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Maybe Uncle Tom, you know, that Uncle Tom we talking about got a family that he needs to feed, and he got a sick child or whatever, and then he has to end up making that choice to rat out his friend. I'm not really mad at an Uncle Tom.
No, see, but the whole thing was, the dude wasn't a friend, he was just a coworker that was stealing because he needed the extra money.
Either way.
But listen, y'all.
Either way.
Brother Sword just came on the line. What's up,
Sword? Brothers.
How are you,
here,
Sword?
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, it's good to have you on the show, man.
It's good to be back on the show, Minister Jake.
I appreciate it, man. Well, listen, you know tonight, man, we're on here talking about does your religion make you an Uncle Tom? If so, can you give us some different Uncle Tom situations that you know of throughout your life, different situations that you've seen? Could you even give us an Uncle Tom situation based upon religion or in church or in a church setting or whatever you've seen?
Well, you got, I'm going to give a little scenario on the information that I have. Back in the slavery time, you had the field Negro, and then you had the house Negro. The house Negro was called an Uncle Tom. You know, the house Negro was the Negro that stayed in the house with the master. You know, he fed the master, he cooked for the master, he kept the master's dog, he cut the master's yard, he kept close to the master. You know, he slept in the master's house, but the field Negro, he was kind of rebellious sometimes towards the master. He didn't like the way he was treated or the way the master was treating his brothers and sisters of the Negro race. You know, like if you was my brother, from the same mother, and if I was a field Negro because I disobeyed the master for some reason or I did not work as hard or whatever the case may be, instead of the master bringing out his whip and whipping me while I was tied to a pole, he would give the whip to my brother, who probably was Uncle Tom or what you call a house Negro. And if my own biological brother did not whip me like the master whipped me, my brother would get whipped. So the Uncle Tom would turn against his own brother just to please his master. That's history, what I just quoted. But in modern terms, you would have an Uncle Tom would be someone who would be always kissing up to, being that we talking about church or religion, it would be kissing up to the Pope, kissing up to the Imam, kissing up to the pastor, kissing up to the leader, kissing up to the preacher. And everything you do, whether it's in your own home or whether it's even in the church yard or whether it's in the church office, you always want to make sure that your nose is clean with the leader, the master, the preacher. But you can't call yourself as freedom in Christ or freedom in God or free anyway. One brother told me freedom ain't free. The reason why he said freedom ain't free is because if you want to stay free, you have to maintain a certain mentality and you have to do certain things to maintain freedom, even literal freedom. So Uncle Tom, a religious Uncle Tom person, is a person who, well, even you could be his friend, and when they stand before the leader or the pastor, he will put you down or, you know, point the finger at you or point out your faults and your bad things so you can get demoted so he can look good. And he don't want to look good to get promoted. He just want to stay close to Tom. That's why they call him Uncle Tom. He's not Tom. He's an Uncle Tom. And so he's staying close to Tom. He always wants to please Tom. You know, so, and, you know, fitness level, if your religion is making you an Uncle Tom, where you always kissing up to people, I mean, I understand Jesus said turn the other cheek, but he also said resist not evil. You know, you have to be wise. He also said be wise as a snake. A snake? He said be wise as a snake, but harmless as a dove. So you got to use wisdom in your walk with God, because he said, I'm sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. We know a wolf would tear sheep up, but he wasn't telling you to be an Uncle Tom. You know, he wasn't telling you to be someone who is always trying to kiss up to somebody. You got to have a standard with yourself and walk in the freedom that God has given you in order to be the light that he wants. That's why they gave him Christ capital punishment.
Sport, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, Sport. Does the word that you preach or what you've learned in your walk, in your faith of what you believe, in the messages that you preach, but that you heard preach, and when you, does it make you an Uncle Tom for preaching it?
Well, see, first of all, when you talk about me, I can speak of my convictions. You got to have a conviction on the inside of you, and that conviction is not based upon man. You know, we're talking about the supreme, the sovereign God, and I have to make my confession. I don't always live up to his standards. You know, Jesus told a woman who got caught committing adultery, he said, go and sin no more. He knew she was going to sin, but he preached peace, preached Christ. So, you know, standard that Christ got, the standard that the sovereign God got, I mean, I know there is some things that I don't measure up to, but when you talk about being an Uncle Tom or being a slave, that's the whole plan of God to set us free from that. Our submissiveness should be to him and him alone. And if someone else is submitting to God, you would be able to identify with that person and not allow that person to oppress you in any type of way, be it a preacher, pastor, or quote anybody. You got
to understand. Let me ask you this question. What would you say to the individual who says that the word that you preach based on Christianity comes from your white slave master, and he's the one who has whooped that mentality in you, and he created your perception of God for you? What would you say to that individual?
Well, I mean, first of all, you got a lot of dogma. And I'm going to have to say a lot of things that that man has said has a lot of truth. The reason why I say it has a lot of truth is because if you look at society today, we call America a Christian society. And, you know, the Pope, when you look at the Pope, when he comes on TV and a whole bunch of masses of people and, you know, different type of nationalities. I mean, they about to auction out the Pope a motorcycle, man. a Harley Davidson. You know, and he's going to get a lot of money for that. And the bike was given to him. Like they said on the news, he probably ain't even rode the bike. But he often didn't bike out. Maybe he did take it for a ride. They don't know. But they auctioning the bike for a very high price. So what I'm saying, society is made up from that Catholic tradition and form of way that we'll go back to the founding fathers. Now, some founding fathers say they wasn't Catholic. I'm not going to argue with nobody. They say they was Protestant. But when you look at people who study history, history teaches that, okay, we in America as a black people, we was ignorant to a lot of things. We couldn't even get no Bible. We couldn't even get inside of a church. And so we, history teaches that we have found the Bible, we found some scriptures, and we held on to them scriptures, and songs was being made while we was in the cotton field picking cotton, and the elder women and the elder men somehow allowed themselves to tap into the Spirit of God. So, you know, it has some form to it, because if you look at it, okay, they say, turn the other cheek. That religion teaches you, if someone smacked you on one cheek, turn to him the other cheek. He's trying to put you in a submissive mode so he can rule you, so he can cause you not to retaliate or fight back for your freedom or your rights in this world. It's a human right for me to have shelter. It's a human right for me to have water. It's a human right for me to have clothes. It's just a human right. God made us with certain needs, and God expects those needs to be provided. But when you become passive or blinded and submissive to someone who has perverted your mind, you might feel like, I can't go out and make it happen. I'm not going
to
fight.
I have something to say. This is DA. I'm on everything that you said, Sword. I mean, you know, it's the truth in a lot of degrees. But I'm DA, and because I'm DA, I have to shed light on certain things. And one of the things I want to shed light on is, no matter which way you look at it or which way anybody looks at it, Christianity, you have three major Abrahamic religions, which is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And out of those three, Christianity by far is the most Uncle Tomish religion out of all of them. Number one, that religion in no kind of way belongs to us as black people. We actually have adopted the tradition of our forefathers who were slaves that was taught, like you said, this religion and this tradition. Imagine if we weren't captive and bought over to the New World, which is America, we would probably still be believing in the traditions of our forefathers, you know, with the whole African movement and the whole African tradition. But no, we actually follow the traditions of our slave owners. And 9 times out of 10, their purpose and their agenda, like you said, was to keep us passive, was to keep us offensive and not defensive, so we won't rise up against their leadership. And in every kind of way, no matter which way you look at it, it's a handicap. It makes us handicapped. It has made us handicapped, and it will continue to make us handicapped. And that's why we look for heaven. That's why we look for an afterlife, because there we won't be handicapped. But while we're here, believing in that tradition and in that religion, we will continue to be handicapped.
Okay, let me add on and shed a little light on the full question Minister Jay asked me about, do my religion makes me an Uncle Tom? First of all, when you look at Christianity, your knowledge has to be broad enough to be able to accept the fact that many different religions stems from Christianity. It, you know, but when you get down to the root and try to find truth, and what is the truth? If you got 10, 20 people inside of a room, and the teacher is one teacher, and that one teacher is teaching those 20 students, he's not teaching them 20 students different things. He's teaching them one thing. So God, as being one and he's being the head and the leader, he's not teaching us to take on the billions and billions of religions that we know exist today. So
how do you know
you,
that?
Let me speak for 1 second. If you become a religious person and choose any religion that you choose, you can be considered an Uncle Tom. The reason why I say that is because religion is man's method towards serving God. But God has his own method. And if you know God, you will know what God calls you to do, which is, one, what did he teach Abraham? What did he teach Adam? What did he teach Jesus? What did he teach all the prophets? Obedience to him. And
of course
he
would teach that.
He didn't teach them. He didn't teach them to follow Islam. He didn't teach them. Matter of fact, Christianity came up. If we look at it in Acts, it was non-believers who called those who followed Jesus Christians. So Christian means Christ-like. But you
my question to you is this.
So when you deal with a child of God, someone who has a divine intervention and has been touched by the hand of the Almighty God, we don't consider ourselves religious people. We consider ourselves born again, a birth all over again, not physically, but spiritually. And then you have a lot of people who say, I've been spiritually reborn. I'm talking about, you know, when God has heard your prayer and has gave you a conversion within your perception of life itself, from the very moment you choose to say, I'm a believer in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and not faking the funk and just saying it because you heard somebody else saying it and becoming an Uncle Tom. But you are sincere in your prayer to God that you have made in violation, and you want God to forgive you, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he
and
will transform your
that's
life.
Totally understood. So, but my question to you is, how do you know all of these things that you're saying, that God is the one who actually touches, God is the one that didn't put a million religions and traditions down here? How do you know God didn't? How do you know Christianity is the only way to God? How do you know that?
First of all, when you become a witness, if you stood on your corner and there was an accident, the only way you could be a witness in the courtroom if your eye have saw it. If your eye didn't see it, you can't be no witness. Only thing that I'm bearing witness to is not what my eye has seen, but what has transpired on the inside of my spirit. Whether you choose to believe the words that come out of my mouth or not, that's on you. I said that there are millions of religion out there, but that don't mean God will take whoever follows each of these, because we would be confused, and God is not confused.
And nine times out of ten, we are confused. My question to you now is: you say that
knowledge to answer your question. That will give you enough knowledge to answer your question that God is not the author of the billions of confused minds that will come together if you choose to take five different people from five different religions and their perception of what they're being taught about their religion. They will argue. But if
you are basically saying that your truth comes from comes from the spirit that is connected with you and God. God spoke to your spirit. God touched your spirit. You connected with God through your spirit, and that is your testimony. That's how you know God to be true. Okay, that's totally understandable. I have two questions for you. Number one, how do you know that a Muslim spirit...
It's not my truth. It's not my truth.
It's not what? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm not claiming that. I'm not... You said my truth. The way that I know that my truth is from God, I'm the only thing that I'm objecting to that, so you can know and all the listeners know that I'm not holding on to that. This is... What I'm saying is not mine.
So whose is it?
It's his, the Almighty.
How do you know that?
But you choose to believe it, that's on you. So you can
I understand that, but my question to you is, how do you know that? How do you know it's God's truth? How arrogant are you to say that this is God's truth and you know it to be God's truth?
Because of my own conversion within my spirit, and like I said, you can't bear witness.
I just have a quick question for you.
I'm only speaking from my own convictions. You could speak from yours, which you are.
I just have a quick question.
But I will be held accountable for what I say to you. So God is looking at me just like He's listening at you.
So it comes back to your own conviction, your personal conviction. So it has nothing necessarily to do with it's God, because God has given it to you because it's your own personal conviction. My question still remains.
I have one question also to add. How do we know how pure His spirit is?
Pure whose spirit is?
I don't know His name, but he's saying. Because that's what he sees in his spirit, right?
But
that's
as
message from God.
Listen to the message.
And then
if you got to hear the words is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you got an ear and you can hear the Almighty saying, come unto Him, then come and repent of your sins. That's what John the Baptist said, Jesus said, when they came preaching in the wilderness. Repent.
Okay, see, Please, let me just ask this one. The problem with that is I don't know how good your hearing is. So, I don't know exactly what you heard, but I don't know when you heard it, how clear you heard it. So, the message that you're telling me you heard in your spirit, in your soul, it might not be clear. It might be distorted.
That's why he said, if you got an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said. So,
I just want to get one thing clear, I'm asking. I'm not, this is not a statement. I'm asking. Everybody talks about the spirit this, the spirit that. Can you tell me, indefinite, what a spirit is? Can you tell me what a spirit is? Because spirit is actually being thrown out there like it's a word that everybody truly understands. And I think just for the sake of people not knowing, can you let people know what the spirit is?
Well,
I want a factual definition of the spirit.
Well, when you go according to scripture, scripture teaches when you look up the word spirit, you get the word wind. Where it comes from, I don't know. Talk to the Greeks, and the Hebrews who wrote the scriptures. But we dealing with then we get deeper into the intellect of the being. A spirit has no flesh and blood as we got. It needs flesh.
My question is, how do you know this? Can you give me a definition of
the
spirit?
The definition
you can't see the wind, but you know it's there.
But
God
that's
is
what the spirit.
And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Listen,
you can't.
But you're not giving me. You're not
listen,
giving me
the definition.
An indefinite
definition,
of a spirit.
Definition
you
of
got
spirit.
It.
The definition of spirit
mm-hmm.
is breath.
So you're saying that a breath is spirit. That's
no,
what you're
no,
saying.
No, right now what I'm saying is.
I'm.
What is keep right now? What is keeping us all alive right now in this flesh? What keeps
a lot
us
of stuff is a lot
no,
of stuff is keeping us
no,
alive.
But, I know, but what is the main thing? What is the main thing? What do you have?
No, there is no main thing. There are a lot of factors that keep us
all
alive.
Right. All right, but check this. All right, there are a lot of factors, but if you take the breath away, you take everything away.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't. You know why? Because there
yes,
are things
do.
That actually can breathe for you.
No. I'm talking about right now, if you took the breath away from you, the machine may have you on there, but you won't be able to talk to me on the phone.
It doesn't make a difference. You said what
no,
keeps
yes,
you alive.
Does.
You didn't say anything about talking
no,
on the phone.
Breath.
You said what keeps you alive.
It produces
and
life.
Nobody has
still
given me a definition
I'm
of it.
I'm talking about.
Are you saying, are
I'm
you saying that the spirit is a breath? Is that what you're saying? Are you
no,
saying
I'm
that
saying,
the breath
saying,
is a spirit?
No, what I'm telling you, I'm about to read the definition to you. I'm reading the definition.
Okay.
Hold up, let me go right here because it's a few of them I'm about to read.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the spirit, the word spirit is often referred to the consciousness or the personality. The notions of a person's spirit and soul often also overlap as both contrast with body, and both are understood as surviving the bodily death in religion, and spirit also have the sense of a ghost, a manifestation of the spirit of a deceased person. I'm just giving you these different terms. It says the term also refer as immaterial being,
mm-hmm.
such as demons or deities.
Mm-hmm.
In Christianity, specifically, the Holy Spirit, though with the capital S, experimented by the disciples at the Pentecost, the English word spirit comes from the Latin meaning breath, but also spirit,
mm-hmm.
courage, and vigor.
Yeah. So my question still remains. Can you tell me what a spirit is?
Okay, here you go. Listen to me. I attempt to give you the definition of spirit according to the Greek. But here I'm going to read. Maybe this would help the listeners because you said that's the reason why you asked the question. And
mm-hmm.
it says the spirit of man, the spirit of man is the intellect, will, mind, conscious, and other invisible faculties that make him a free moral agent. Men
mm-hmm.
are immortal.
And, okay, and that I understand, but every definition that you're actually given, they're very biased definitions. They are religious definitions. But let's just say, for argument's sake, let's just take that to be true. Tell me what a spirit is. Are you saying the spirit is my intellect? Are you saying the spirit is my breath? Are you saying the spirit is all of those things combined into one? Is that what you're saying? I just want to be clear on what you guys' definition of a spirit is, because we throw it around all the time, but nobody explains what a spirit actually is. So I just want to know.
Instead of making this thing so complicated, because God said the things that are revealed is for us, man, it's for man. But the things that are kept secret, that's for Him, the Supreme. That's what makes Him sovereign. So let's use our intellect or our understanding when we're dealing with the word spirit. Let's say so the definition of spirit is intellect. Do you want to say it's only intellect? And not mind or will. Let's say it's the whole thing, because God is spirit according to scriptures. And so if God is spirit, when we deal with God, we're dealing with the intellect. The intellect is the warehouse of knowledge within the mind.
So you deal with
the spirit, you're dealing with the will, the intellect, the conscious. Your conscious is your awareness. That lets you know that you are somebody, you are something, you are somewhere. You're alive, because if you was unconscious, you wouldn't know nothing. So the unseen part of the human being. You see my flesh, but you don't see that part. You only see that in my performance, my action.
Okay, now let's
how
let's,
my talent is.
Now
so
let me take your word.
Is all of that. Let's say spirit
okay.
is all of that.
So you're saying the spirit is the intellect, the spirit is the mind, the spirit is all of the things that build you that you actually can't see. Is basically what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, that makes you a free moral agent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you actually say, okay, that's your spirit. So your spirit is your intellect. Your spirit is your mind. Your spirit is these things. Now you're saying that's the way God connects to His people, right? Right through spirit, correct?
The scripture says that He will give you a new spirit. He will take your hard heart out and give you a heart of flesh. A soft heart and renew a new spirit within you. In other words, God is going to give you a new will. He's going to give you a new intellect. He's going to give you a new awareness. He's going to create it anew. So when you come unto Him and you believe and He gives you that divine intervention, I'm going to say it, you born again. You know if you born again. When a child is here, that child don't understand where it's at and what's going on, but that child is crying and looking. That child understands something has transpired from the womb to this world, but he can't articulate it. So if you're born again and you got a transformation from God, an operation from God, you know if he has passed into your spirit. You know it.
Okay, so you're saying that, okay, so God actually connects with me through my spirit, and now I am connected with the one. Now, since you said spirit is intellect, mind, and all of these makeups, you're saying that that's the way I'm connected to God. Now I have a question for you. My question is, how well do you know God?
How well do I know God? Of course, he knows me quite well, and I know him. But I'm saying,
are connected to him, though. You are actually connected with his inner self.
I just say I know him quite well. I just say I know Minister Jay quite well. But people that you say you know quite well, you really don't know them that well.
So are you saying you really don't know God that well? Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is,
I think everybody
knows.
Okay,
I know him. You know, I have my what they call your personal relationship with him through Christ Jesus. I'm saying Jesus was the mediator between my sinful nature and my corrupt mind on out there doing wrong. It was through Jesus that I got.
So I'm going to ask you again.
To where I'm
how
at right
well,
now.
I'm going to ask you again. How well do you know God since you are connected with the very thing that makes God God?
I'm not
going to
put no scale on that. I mean, only thing I'm going to leave it at this. You can say what you're going to say after this, but I'm going to say that I know him.
I got a question for Jay. Right?
That's going.
When you breathe, like when you're breathing, what are you breathing?
I'm breathing carbon dioxide.
All right. You breathe, so it do what?
Through my respiratory system.
And it helps you do what? It helps you what? Does it help you stay alive? Does it help you exist?
Yeah.
It helps you exist.
In order for me to live, I have to breathe.
All right. So you're connected to it.
Yeah, of course I'm connected to it.
You're connected to it, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Like, how well in depth do you know it?
I don't get it. What do you mean?
No, but I'm saying, like, how well, like, you said you're connected to the carbon dioxide, right? What keeps you alive, right?
Uh-huh.
It helps you exist. It helps you. You're still, we're all able to communicate on this telephone, on this radio show by oxygen. We're connected to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how well do you know it? Do you know
I know what?
Do you know everything about what's
that
keeping you alive?
About oxygen, about,
yes.
You know, what he's trying to say is the oxygen in the air that we get from the connection with the tip of the trees and the sun,
uh-huh.
that creates what we know as oxygen. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, how well do you know that that's existing? The only thing you do know that that exists is that you're grieving, and by what somebody told you.
It has everything to do
with what you and I just said. We just the whole respiratory system and how we function. So that's the explanation.
I asked you how well do you know it? Can you tell me everything about it? Can you tell me every molecule? I mean,
I'm not a scientist.
But you're connected to it.
I can actually go and read it right now and prove it and test it.
No, but hold up. But
it's actually empirical evidence where I can go and test it.
But check this. That evidence that you go look up.
How in the world?
Hold up.
I'm sorry, Dad. I apologize.
Hold on. Let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
I got the floor down. Now.
Yes.
You can go look up all the information on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that information that you're looking up about what you're looking up is not what's keeping you alive. It's what you're going to look up that's keeping you alive. So why do you need to go outside of what you're connected to know about what's keeping you alive if you're connected to it?
I'm sorry, but that didn't make any sense to me.
No. Why do you have to read something else about what you're connected to?
You asked him a question.
If he's connected to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
He should know him. You should know him in depth and out if you're connected to him. You're connected to the wind. You're connected.
I wasn't saying that in that sense.
That's how it sounded.
So what I'm saying is, do you want me to expound on what I meant? If that's not the case, I just told you it wasn't.
Oh yeah, now it's not the case. Well, go ahead and make yourself clear when you make a statement.
Yeah, let him go ahead. No, he was going to ask another question. I think he asked, "How well do I know?" Only thing I want to answer is say I know him. That's it. If you could work with that, because I'm not saying that I don't reach that level. I'm not, you know, like I'm just like you, next brother, and the next brother, and the next brother. You know, I'm
not knocking your answer. I just wanted to know because I was making a statement. I was trying to make a point, and my point was you said the very core thing that actually makes you who you are is the one thing that God is. So if God is that,
He never said the one thing that he is. He never said that.
I'm listening to you, AJ.
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. What did you say?
Let's go.
I'm listening to you. You was quoting me. You said that I said I just missed everything that you were saying. That's all.
I was basically saying my question to you was, spirit? And you told me what your definition of spirit is. And I said, okay, if that's your definition of spirit, the mind, the intellect, all of the things that make us up that we can't see, which you agreed to, I said, are those the same things that God is? Because you said God is spirit. And you told me what the makeup of God is. And it was the same exact thing. So my question was, how well do you know him? That's all I asked. That was it. And
okay.
then you said, I don't, you said, I just know him. And I left it at that. I didn't say anything more to that. That's all. That's where I kept it.
I thought you said that you was coming with another question after I would have answered that question.
No, that was all. That was the question I wanted to ask.
I mean, we get back on so we can stay on point with the Uncle Tom. You know, religion can really make you a servant where you think you're serving God, but you're serving somebody else. Like, you got preachers out there that's walking on top of members while they're praying, and they say that everybody's going to heaven, but they becoming Uncle Tom. You know, how you gonna lay there and pray and let another man walk on top of you, and he say he's your pastor? How you gonna go outside and eat grass, and you gonna say that you're doing it because your pastor is telling you that Jesus got a new flock, and this is the new flock, and we gonna eat grass? I mean, it's out there. It's in the social media that you got men who are doing these things. So you know, that's why I say if you take one, it's a billion. Out there. It's a billion. It's not only 10. It's not only 3. You said 3 major. Okay, we can say 3 major, but it's a billion religions out in the world.
No, I was saying the 3
Buddhism,
majors that consists of the Abrahamic belief. That's it. That's all I was saying.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. There are hundreds and thousands of religions out there.
It's a bunch of them. So if we took one out of all of them and put them in a classroom, it'd probably be war. You know, it would be, because first of all, you have to have some sense when you're dealing with religion and you're dealing with another man, and I'm saying this to give somebody some wisdom, you have to have a sense of, I'm going to say, respect or deity, you know, respect. You got that. I'm not going to come up to you and respect you. I don't care which way you choose to believe. That's on you. You have to answer to Almighty. Like I got to say, but I'm gonna speak from my conviction. But I'm not looking around. Just like he said, cast not your pearls among swine. So you got to be wise on who you choose to interact with what your convictions are. You know, but as far as being an Uncle Tom, you got an Uncle Tom and a whole bunch of them. It's not just in Christianity. It's a bunch of them, because they're going to do what they need to tell them to do. And they say that it's God, you know. But again,
so,
Jesus, he's not physically here, but we say he got up out of the grave. How well do you believe that he got up out of the grave? I mean, I got my convictions on why I will confess that until I die, not just because my father, my mother, the preacher or the man who, you know, in the pulpit told me. You know, I'm telling you because, you know, in my trial and error, I had an experience. And so
I have a question. My question is, do you think if you lived in India, do you think you would be a Christian or do you think you would be a Hindu?
I'm saying, with what I got right now, you know, they would probably kill me for Jesus' sake. I'm standing, I'm dying with Jesus.
I understand that, but the reason why I said that is because you necessarily didn't choose your religion. You chose the religion that was most comfortable in your culture, in your surroundings, and 9 times out of 10, it was either the Muslim belief or some type of Christianity. Those are the 2 choices you would have chosen because of the culture and your environment that you come from. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that, you know, so be it. If God placed you here for this reason, then so be it. But, don't necessarily,
like,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Man, you took a man, right, and you put him in the wilderness where They wasn't teaching him. They wasn't handing him, like you said, the culture or the religion that's handed to each one of us, that we can choose which one we want. So now that man that has not been handed no religion, but yet he is a worshiper of deity. Deity means divine or supreme, which is highest. So he's a worshiper, and he has tapped into some type of inner conversion to God, whatever it is. He's going to stand before God and be judged according to the conviction that God has brought unto him, whether we use our conscience as to be that, interaction, because we also see that word in spirit, and God is spirit, and he taps into our spirit. So how many times do we disobey our conscience? Our conscience can be talking to us right now and saying, you hearing the truth, but you choosing to reject the truth because you're afraid that you would be called an Uncle Tom, or that you would be called following Christianity. I said from the beginning, I don't consider myself a religious man. Born again, yes. Saved, yes. But I'm not under no type of servitude of nobody. I'm trying to follow Jesus. I'm trying to study his word. Yeah, I might get connected with some Christians, and we might talk about the word and fellowship and get out our concordance and get out our dictionaries and try to be students of the scriptures, but at the same time, I'm not underneath what you call, call me a Baptist, call me a Methodist, call me a non-denominational, call me a Pentecostal, but yet I might fellowship with these same brothers and sisters, But at the end of the day, you must be born again. And a lot of people inside of those same religions I just named say that they're born again. But,
so
who am I?
But see, my thing is, do you have to be born again?
Christ is at the right hand of God.
Do you actually have to be born again? Can I be a Muslim and get to God?
Watch this. Jesus said you cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again.
So you're basically putting a cap. You are putting a cap on how I can get to God, because you're saying that because Jesus said this.
Jesus put a cap on it.
No, you did.
The Muslim call him the Mahdi. So a Mahdi is like a great high icon by the Almighty, and he's in the man form. So if they call him that, we call him the Messiah, which is the anointed one or the chosen one. He said you can't even see the kingdom unless you're born again, let alone enter it. He said it two times. One, he says you can't see it unless you're born again, and the other one, he says you can't enter it unless you're born of the Spirit. You got to be born again. He told a religious man named Nicodemus that. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born when I'm old? Can I go a second time into my mother's womb? But Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. He couldn't understand. Jesus said, my words are spirit that I speak unto you, and they are life. So, it's not that I'm making it where you must be born again. I'm quoting the Messiah, the Savior
now,
of the world.
Now, based on you guys' definition of spirit, I can't stop thinking about the Hindu man that's standing in India right now. He has a spirit like every one of us, because you guys said that it was breath, and he's breathing in India, and he's saying that he's connected to God through these deities that he's following, and his message is coming directly from God. He's saying his word that he's hearing is the right one. But then you're saying on the other side of the world that, no, you're connected to God, and the message that you heard through your spirit is the right one, and that the Hindu is damned to hell, because he didn't hear the same message as you did.
Okay, so now, but I didn't quote that, but let's say, okay, let's say that is the case. Let's say that is the case. At the end of the day, that Hindu, that other man who's saying he heard from the spirit, and the man on this side who said he heard from the spirit, and he's trying to lead whoever will listen to him, we all got to stand before the sovereign God. So what type of heart do you got to seek him? You have to seek him. And if you seek him, the scripture says he surely will be found of you. He's not lost, but he's looking for you to open up your heart to search for the truth and cleave unto it.
But what if his truth, what if the Hindu truth, what if the Hindu
is not
truth
Christ,
is not
okay.
Christ?
Let's say, okay, let's see the Hindu. Then you know what? That means I'm going to burn if there is a hell according to the Hindu.
Oh,
and
no,
you
no, because they don't necessarily believe
to
the
Hindu,
like the
so
way Christians
what I'm
do.
Saying is, what I'm saying is, whoever you are and wherever you are, whatever your conversions are, you're going to stand before the Almighty for it. So don't just preach it or teach it because you heard it. Preach it and teach it because you've been transformed within your spirit, man. And you know nobody couldn't do it but God. You didn't learn it in a teacher's class. You didn't learn it in a preacher's class. You didn't learn it in a Pope's class. You had an encounter with God because you believed, whether it was a Muslim's message, a Hindu's message, a Christian's message, whoever message is, and the divine has touched your spirit, you will know. According to the Muslim, he says it like this. When you stand before him, he will judge you according to the light that was revealed. So in so many words, I'm saying almost the same thing. Without arguing with you, my point. Or without arguing with you, my conviction. But I will say what he said. If you're not born again, you can't even see heaven. You can't even enter in. So that's not on me. That's on Jesus.
D.A.
That's on the...
Yeah, uh-huh.
Would you be considered the atheist, Uncle Tom?
No, because I'm not an atheist.
A Gnostic?
Do you know what a Gnostic is?
Are you one? There's
no, I'm not a Gnostic because I do not claim to know all.
So could you explain to us right now,
mm-hmm.
could you, if you were to consider you saving me from Christianity, how would you do it and what would you say to me?
I'm not necessarily saving anybody from anything, and I'm not saying Christianity is wrong, nor am I saying Christianity is right.
But what are you
right.
saying? Are you just rambling? Just talking
no,
out of
it? I'm actually saying.
Is there any purpose behind what you're saying? Like what's
yes,
the meaning?
Yes, it is.
Well, can I hear
okay,
that?
Yes, and the meaning is I made a statement about the Uncle Tom topic, which I consider Christianity to be out of the three Abrahamic major religions. I see Christianity being the number one Uncle Tom religion. That's
based
what I see, and that's what I say.
Based on master teaching Christianity in slavery times.
Based on master teaching, based on the Bible, based on what the Bible says about slavery, based on how people use the Bible to actually condone slavery, and nowhere in the Bible it talks against slavery. It always condones slavery in the New and Old Testament. Not only that, but if you know the history of the Bible and how the Bible came to be what we now see as the Bible, then yes, I will stick to my guns and say that the Christianity that we now have, the Christianity that we now believe and accept to be true, is so far removed from what Christianity even was after Christ, during a couple of decades after Christ was here. So in that respect, that's why I say.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, for the listening's sake, you know, when you, like you saying the word Christianity, you know, people speak Christianity. You can read in the Encyclopedia of Christianity, and it talks about the history of Christianity. And, you know, like you could go into Constantine, who called himself a Christian, who began the Catholic religion, and God showed him a cross, and he built the army and said God told him to conquer in the sign of a cross. And, you know, when you use the word Christianity, it's a broad word because you have, like you said, a whole bunch of branches off of that. So
yeah, you're right.
I want to say, you know, you want to say all of them, like, you know, like you might have a bunch of people who might perceive like me, you know, that I don't call myself a religious person because, like, my understanding is that religion gives you a whole bunch of, you know, do this and do that, and then you this and you that. You know, like, you got Jehovah's Witnesses. You can't be no Jehovah's Witness unless you're knocking on doors. You can't be the Nation of Islam unless you're selling papers. You know, you get to a point where they kind of like, you know, okay, you got to be excommunicated. And you got a lot of churches, like, I'm talking about the Pentecostal church, where you have some women and men who feel like, you know, if I'm not there, the rest of the flock is going to look at me odd and strange, so I better keep on coming, or I better keep on doing what everybody else is doing. And it's kind of like an Uncle Tom. So, you know, Christianity is very broad, but when you're born again and you got Jesus inside your heart, you should seek to be free, whoever you are, you know, and walk in your freedom. That don't mean use your freedom to go out here and do all kinds of negativity, but to know that, you know, God loves you no matter who you are, man, and he accepts you. If the next person don't accept you, as long as I know God has accepted me and called me into his flock, I'm part of the beloved. And I thank God for it. And I receive this love of God through Jesus. He said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you
and
got
that's
love
awesome.
One for another.
That's awesome, you know? because of the Christianity that you have, the God that you serve, is actually your own personal and sovereign God. But just as simple as you know your God in Christianity, somebody standing right next to you who calls himself a Christian, who calls himself a believer in Christ Jesus, totally has a different God than you do. So it's basically more on a personal thing, and I totally understand that. Your God, the God that you're talking about right now, he's awesome. But it's not the same God as, like you said, a Pentecostal God or a Lutheran God. Or, as a matter of fact, your brother, who actually is a Christian as well, his God may be totally different from your God. And y'all went to the same church. And y'all grew up in the same household. Everybody has their own personal God. Is there something wrong with that? No. To each their own. But I would never condemn someone else because of their conviction and their connection with whatever type of deity they actually have and say, well, because my deity says that what I believe is true, yours isn't. And because yours isn't, you're going to have to meet judgment one day.
Well, we know
exactly.
That. You know, that's, as being, you know, men of reasoning and logic, I mean, you know, like, no matter what religion or dogma you follow, you know, like, most of them all agrees to the fact that, you know, you came from a sovereign God and you're going to stand before him. And, you know, and standing before him, I mean, you can't, what you going to give him for the wrong that you have done? You can't give him nothing. So, you know, why not accept the love that he has? And like you said, what I'm saying might be contrary to what somebody's been brought up with, but I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, and you know, you can accept that, you know, God has sent the Messiah, a Savior in the world, and you choose to believe the message that you heard or the writings that was written, that Jesus opened up blind eyes and, you know, he raised the dead, you know, did these things. If you choose to believe that he actually got up out of the grave, you know, some people can't believe that. But if you believe that in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord according to Scripture. This is how I got tapped into. I heard the word. Like he said, you can't preach except you be sent. You know, and so how do you believe in something in whom they have not heard? And they got to hear with a preacher. You know,
listen,
a preacher means,
I mean,
one who proclaims.
Listen, I can totally be cool with your God for a little while, because your God seems awesome. Your God seems like he will accept anybody. Doesn't matter who you are. All you have to do is believe in him and believe in the stories that was told by him. Hey, cool. That's all.
Wait a minute. You'd be cool with him until you found out that he allowed you to become a black slave.
Yeah, no. I said I would be cool for a little while. For a little while, because it's definitely going to be something that's definitely going to be contrary to something that I personally can accept as a human, as me being a human being. Now, my thing is,
well, like you said, you know, in so many words, to each his own, you know, but like, you know, at the end of the day, you must know, you know, you will stand before him. That's it. You know, I mean, I have some coming up to do myself, you know, that I could put up my antennas that I don't become an Uncle Tom in some form or fashion. Like you say, you know, serving the God that I believe, of which, you know, like the scripture says, there was a name of many different gods, the gods of Mars, the gods of Saturn, the god of the sun, and different names, and they all had their little statues and stuff. But there was one spot called the Unknown God, you know, and one of the apostles preached on the Unknown God. And said, this god, you got a symbol called Unknown, but yet he is very known, and that is the one who has sent Christ to redeem us all from our corruption. And whether we choose to believe in the one who was crucified not many days hence, that's on y'all. But as for us, we will serve the Lord, and if you believe, you too will be saved. So, you know, if you choose to say, if I believe in that unknown God, I might, until I know that there is something behind that. I mean, that's you, but let it be known that you, the God that I'm talking about, you will see him one day.
Yeah,
it might not be. But
after death, judgment. I think if your God is actually true, then all gods must be true to some degree. So I may not see your God. I may see some other God. I may not see the Hindu God may not see my God. So I can't sit here and say that I'm going to see your God, because that's your God. That's your personal God that may be totally different from my God. And you can't say that my God.
Yeah, we know. When I say we, I'm speaking of men and women of, I wouldn't even say higher learning. I would say just men and women of logic and reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
It has been stated, and a lot of us can agree to the fact that there is one sovereign. There is one. So if there is one, you can say my God, the Hindu God, and that God. There is little G's all around us. As a matter of fact, the God that I'm speaking about, he called you a God. He said all of you are gods and children of the Most High. So there is a sovereign. I just quoted scripture to you. So there is many pagan worshipers who will call the sun their God, who will call Mars their God. You know, you have some people, if you had enough intellect and skill and charisma, people will be worshiping you to be God. You know, in some countries, they teach kids, when the kids come to school, the kids, they give them ice cream, and when they get the ice cream, before they get it, they got to ask for the president. So the president gave them the ice cream. So the kids learning that that president or that emperor, or that leader, is really the one who's providing for them. And so as kids coming up, they're not looking for the sovereign one reigning God. They're going to look at that man. That man is providing for me. Anything I need, he gives it to me. Everybody is talking about him. His pictures is everywhere. So you can talk about many gods, and if you die, you might see this stuff. There is only one. And we all
and see that is my thing. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Ask your question.
No. All right. So we all agree that there is one God, no matter what religion, you know, no matter who you are.
I don't agree with that.
Okay. All right.
I just want to be.
But anyway, so the way I'm looking at this is that Christianity.
You don't agree that there's one supreme.
No,
I do.
No, I don't. I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah.
For me to say that there is one supreme God, I think that is very, very, very arrogant for me to say I know, because I don't know. I don't know it like I know 2 plus 2.
No, let me ask the question.
But I don't know it.
Yeah,
let me ask
okay.
the question. Let me ask the question.
You will know.
So, I'm looking at religion, whatever religion it may be, I'm looking at it like that's your interpretation of God. Is that correct?
Who's speaking? This is Sword.
This is ex-Catholic. I'm asking you a question. So I was asking, do you agree with the fact that your religion would be your interpretation of God? Or God's word?
Well, I would go to, okay, when you say my religion, you're saying Christianity.
Christianity, yeah. Would you consider your Christianity your interpretation of God?
I would have to. Everything that I've been saying, I would have to go back to, like, you know, what my convictions are. Yes, I mean, he said that he's going to put his laws in my heart. So what's in my heart?
All right.
Now the
second part to that question is, are you the type of person that would open up your heart to God so much that you would be open to a better explanation of who God really is? So if I was to explain to you that I'm following the King James Bible version 3, and this is the word, this is the Christian word, and this is the one that's right, not your version that you've been reading, are you open to that idea? Now, we're still staying in Christianity. I'm still trying to lead you towards Christ, but I'm going to show you a different interpretation of our Christian God. Are you the type of person that you're open to that?
See, first of all, I'm going to say this from my standpoint, my perception on who I am and what I'm about to say, is that, you know, I'm not closed-minded, but that don't mean that I'm ready to leave my God. And I won't leave what he gave me. And what he gave me has been sound. And so as it being sound, that makes me secure. And so me being secure, I know that at the last day, I'm going to fall back on the mediator, the Messiah, who promised that he will raise me up until the last day, and that he will never leave me nor forsake me, and that his love endures forever. And so now that I am united with him, I will not let him go. I will not
let him go.
King James 15 and 22. I'm staying right where I'm at because he said, I'm coming back. And when I come back, you will see me. He said, but the world will not see me. His disciples said, how can we see you and the world not see you? He said, if you believe, I and my Father will manifest ourselves unto you. If you love me, keep my word. And so now Christ has a way of manifesting himself unto those who choose to believe. So we don't
now,
need
I have a question for devil's advocate now.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for devil's advocate now. Now, I understood everything you just explained to me, and it made sense. But mm-hmm. my question to you is, the fact that at the beginning of his answer, he explained that he still would keep an open mind. Just an open mind, not saying that he would stray from his God, but just the fact that he said that he would have an open mind. Based on Christianity today, are you even allowed to have that?
No, I don't think so.
You have to. Okay, listen. If you are a seeker or a man, I'm dealing with a man of logic. If you're a man of logic, you have to. I don't care where you're going and traveling in this world. You should always keep an open mind. You shouldn't be, because just like a closed mouth can't be fed, a closed mind can't be fed. And
so should we put logic before your spirit sometimes?
Say that again?
So should we put logic before what your spirit tells you sometimes?
You know, spirit a lot of times go against logic. So you got to, if you're going to be about God, you got to be about spirit. Because the scripture says God is spirit, and he that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So now God may tell you to go somewhere and do something. It just don't make no sense. Like, why would he tell me to, you know,
but do you realize what you're just about to do? You're about to put logic in front of God's word.
No. See, sometimes God will even go against logic, bro. I mean, it's not logic for how, this just don't make no sense to me, how a woman can give birth and not be with a man. That's not logic. That's not logic. But that's God being divine and sovereign. He does what he wants. He does what he wants. You know what I mean? That's not logic. You know? Okay. Well, we could say, if you know, the ground open up right now and, you know, we fall in a deep hole. You know, we could deal with that and say that's the Lord's logic because there's a turbulence in the earth and, you know, we had an earthquake and it shook. But, you know, it would blow man's mind if he can't trace that earthquake coming and boom, the ground opened up. His logic couldn't even deal with the time and he think he's so smart. So no man knows the day nor the hour. So sometimes you got to be ready. And logic is not going to always have you ready. See, when we make a decision, whatever it is, whether it's to go to this college, that college, whether it's to go to this job, that job, whether it's to marry this girl, that girl, or whether it's to buy our baby something, whatever. Decision making is my point. When you make a decision, we're talking about logic now. When you make a decision, you can't always make a decision just based upon knowledge or just based upon wisdom. You have to use intuition, wisdom, and knowledge and some logic. You mixing all of that together to make the right decision. If you just use intuition and put your knowledge and your wisdom to the side, you can make a wrong decision. It can cost you something. But if you mix your logic with your wisdom, with your knowledge, with your intuition, that real inner gut feeling, I think you will come out pretty good with that choice, whatever it is. So don't just make the choice based upon the information you got. Make the choice based upon the information you got, with the intuition that you got, and also with that wise judgment that you've been making in the past. Make good judgment. So mix it all up to make the decision. So logic is now always the best thing for you as a teacher of the Almighty.
Let me ask you a quick question. So if you were a pastor right now at your own Christian church, you would be teaching the word of the Bible, but also telling people to use their logic or their intuition following the word. So don't necessarily follow it word for word. In your church, that's what you would be preaching. You would be saying, what?
You said word for word. Don't follow it word for word. First of all, let me put this on the line about Sword, about me. I believe that the scriptures, the 66 books, we're not talking about all the other books that was stemmed the Catholic Church to gravitate to. We're talking about the King James Version. And we know King James, according to his, you know, we already know all of that. That's history. That's fact. He was feminine, you know. History don't say he was gay, but history do say he was a king at a young age, and he was brought up around his mother and women, and he sat like a woman, and he held his hands like a woman, and, you know, but yet he was king. So the scholars, in order for them to translate, they had to get the authority from the king. And so King James was the king at the time that he authorized the scholars to take the manuscripts, what was written by a prophet or what they found in scrolls, and to translate. That's all King James is. You know, so I believe in the authentic, that the Word of God is authentic, and that it's been tried, according to Scripture, His Word been tried by the fire. And so that same Word stands today, and when we get judged, I believe he's going to judge us by that book. And if you don't have that book, you got a conscience. He's going to deal with you on that.
So you follow the book word for word.
I would preach to the congregation.
You don't need the book. You have a conscience.
You actually follow the book word for word? Do you actually follow the book word for word? Like, do you believe everything that the book says? And do you follow it literally?
I believe that the Word of God is authentic, protected, and it is real, and it is alive.
Really?
I believe.
So if you actually accept
the fact that the Bible has no fallacies in it, the Bible is a perfect book with no fallacies at all. You're saying
believe,
that the book is infallible.
See, listen. We can argue the point of humans translate, and you can look up a word and you can translate the word, and you can look somewhere else and you get another translation, and you know, or like you got the King James Version, right? You got the King James Version, and then when you go into, I believe it's in First John, it talks about there's three that bears witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. But you might get another scripture, another translation that scripture is totally excluded. So what the commentator would say underneath that this was not in the original manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might have a version that says there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh. But then you might have another manuscript that says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And part that says for those who walk not after the flesh.
And so what's your point? So the point is the word is infallible. I mean, the word is fallible, isn't it?
No. What I'm trying to say is that God made a covenant with the children of Israel that is the law of Moses, but he said, because of their disobedience, I'm going to make a new covenant. And my new covenant is, I'm not going to give you manuscripts on stone. I'm going to keep my word and put it in your heart and in your spirit. So he said, I'm going to write my laws in your mind and in your spirit. So now,
so
when you begin to read the word of God.
Then man went back and wrote it down again.
Say that again?
And then men went back and wrote it down again.
Well, I'm saying, like Lord, I said, I'm Lord, not.
Flawed.
You the fact, I believe that the word of God is protected, it's covered, but when you deal with human beings, the human being is there with the translations. I'm not going to say the translations.
Well, then the word isn't protected and covered then, because you, by your own mouth, are saying that there are so many different translations, and if that's the case, then the word isn't covered, because people have right to change the words when they choose to.
Listen, when you get to it, it's this right here. Scripture is given by inspiration from God. That word inspiration, Minister Jay used the word breathe. The word breathe. So the scripture was breathed by God to man. And so man wrote
all of them
as David inspired by God. But now we're talking about translators.
But which words?
Originals.
We have no originals, though. Do you know there is not one original manuscript? There is not one.
Second, you got Isaiah, right? That's a book.
There is not.
That's a prophet also. So that prophet lived and walked on this earth. And that
No. But do you know that we don't have not one original manuscript? Not one. They're copies.
I'm telling you what I believe. That the word of God is protected, and if you're born of his spirit.
Listen, this is Minister Jay Miller. I had to just mute all of my brothers real quick. I just want to say this out there in Radio Land. And this question right here is going to go out to DA. Whether you believe that the Bible is flawed and has its flaws, whatever, I guarantee you, that same Bible that you consider flawed has changed the lives of many for the better, has blessed many lives for the better. And I believe the main message in the Bible is that your life can be better than what it's been, that you can be greater. You can do great things. You don't have to be around and be an evil, twisted person, hurting people, doing things to yourself. I believe the Bible it shows you that you can have love in your heart. It will teach you how to love if you allow it. And now I'm going to let DA on, and I'm going to just let different ones speak at one time because we only have a few minutes left on the show. So, DA, you have the floor now for a few minutes.
That was cute what you said, but... Yeah, so what? Oprah Winfrey has a book that could do the same thing. You're not necessarily saying that this book trumps any other book because this book, you can actually get love from it. You can also get hate from it. You can also get slavery. Didn't you just say I can have a floor?
Has changed more lives than Oprah Winfrey's book. I guarantee you that the Bible has blessed people's lives more than any book that Oprah Winfrey has.
And I guarantee you the Bible has enslaved more people
that's true.
Than any other book as well.
So that was cute what you said. I don't even know what you even mentioned.
So I just said that the same book you're talking about has enslaved so many people as well.
Enslaved them to what?
Enslaved them to a lot of – enslaved them to slavery. Your forefathers was enslaved because of that book.
did the book enslave them or the mentality enslave?
No, the book. The book. No. The same way the book can love is the same way the book enslaved.
So, listen, so you mean to tell me, so what you're saying is, so this is what you're saying, that the book itself picks up a knife and stabs somebody. The book itself cuts someone's head off. The book itself rapes someone. Or does it take an individual to do those acts?
It takes an individual to actually teach, to teach how to love.
But
it also takes an individual to teach how to show slavery as well. So it goes either way.
Ex-Catholic, it's your turn. What you got to say? What you got to say, ex-Catholic? It's your turn.
Oh, okay. No, I thought I was still muted. No, I basically feel the same way as he does, as Devil's Advocate does, because the book has been used as a tool over years and years and years, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. That's my opinion. The same thing as he just said.
It's always... Ex-Catholic, it's always the same thing that D.A.S. said. Is it because you're his minion? Is that the reason?
Okay.
Do you agree with everything he said? I want to hear how Ex-Catholic said
it. If it makes sense, I agree with it.
Who is Ex-Catholic? I want to hear you. I don't want to hear the minion side of you.
Okay. All right. Hold on. You know what?
I want to hear the minion side of you.
And I'll tell you, ex-Catholic, give me 30 seconds. You guys can talk for a second, and then when I jump back in, I'll tell you, ex-Catholic.
Oh, I want to hear ex-Catholic. Sword, you got the floor for a few minutes. Go ahead, let me hear what you guys say.
On air? We still on air?
Yeah, we on the air. It's your turn. What you got to say?
Hey, man, you forgot the members of the day. You forgot this Sword, a.k.a. the Good Brother.
AKA the good brother.
No, but I'm saying, you know, this is why it's called Dirty Church Radio. You know, we can talk about things. It might be something that you might disagree with, something I might disagree with, or whatever the case may be. And I'm able, D.A., the reason why I broke it down the way I broke it down about the translations and the transcripts, I mean, I go back to the authentic of God of the King James Version, but yet you see my open-mindedness with how my research has allowed me to give some room to not be so closed-minded to what you're saying or closed-minded to what somebody else is saying until they sit down and show me that there is some type of human writings that was left out or added in. What I'm saying is that God has protected his word, and if you got his spirit, your spirit can identify and tap into that. What is the truth? And God's spirit, the good brother,
before we leave here, good brother, how many Uncle Toms do you know to this day right now?
Yeah, I know a lot of them, brother. But, you know, you might not know the ones that I know, and then again, you might know some of the ones that I know because we know one another. But it's a lot of Uncle Tom, you know?
Hold that thought right there. D.A., we only got about 11 minutes here, man. And the rest of this show, the name of the show was, Uncle Tom. Does your religion make you an Uncle Tom? So I really want to leave out dealing just with that Tom character, dealing with that issue because we went way out there left field somewhere else. I listened to y'all for a while, and it was good, very interesting. I was picking some things up. I was paying very much attention. I was quiet for a minute, and I enjoyed listening to you brothers talk, listen to y'all communicate and conversate and drop bombs on each other and pick them up and do all that good stuff. But right now, D.A., I need you to give me a few minutes dealing with the Uncle Tom, that Uncle Tom syndrome, that Uncle Tom character. What do we need to do with it? Is it good for us? Give me something.
Just to let everybody know,
my whole objective is to make people think. I'm not here to make you agree. And with that being said, I believe that an Uncle Tom can sometimes be a very good thing, and Uncle Tom can sometimes be a very bad thing. In the case of it being something good, it's all about survival. If you are the type of person that needs to survive and wants to survive, then you will do what you have to do to make that happen. And it also could be a bad way is if you do not think for yourself, you allow someone to think for you. And that could be very detrimental to an individual. It's definitely seen throughout history how you allowing someone to control you based on religion, based on whatever type of means that they can rule over you or persuade you to do something, I think in that way it could be very, very, very detrimental to you. Hello?
Okay. Over here. That's all you have to say?
Yes.
Okay. Now, right now, D.A., since you're on the phone, let me hear D.A. and ex-Catholic disagree on something.
Do you want us just to disagree just for the sake of disagreeing?
No. What I'm saying is, what do you disagree on? Is there something about ex-Catholic that you just wanna annihilate him in right now, DA? Because you're the devil's advocate. And that's mm-hmm. what I want you to do right now, man.
I don't necessarily remember anything that he said that I actually disagreed with.
Well, say something, because ex-Catholic just said when he's come back on the show, you're gonna hear the ex-Catholic. You're going to hear who he is. So what's up, ex-Catholic?
Yes, sir. Am I on the phone?
Yeah, you on the phone.
Okay. All right. Now, this is something that I wrote even before the show, but I just wanted to share it. And it also would tie in with the subject matter. So this is what I wrote. So who are you to be so arrogant to say that another person's religion does not follow God's true word and your interpretation of a Bible is just and the most accurate? Your arrogance defeats your purpose, which is in the black community, since we're talking about the times, it's supposed to be to uplift us as a people. Instead, we segregate ourselves in the same manner as the white man did, using the book as justification to oppress us. Stone those who live different from our teachings, okay? One example you could use was our last show, the black gays and the straight gays. The straight uses the Bible against the other. It says that even though the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself, for we are made in the image of God, but it does not say, love only the neighbors that live the same as you. So, in this situation, we are making the gay person, in this example, right, we're putting a gun to his head saying that he has to make a choice between being a Uncle Tom or being just a regular follower who sometimes goes against the word. Did you guys follow me with all that?
Yeah, I heard you. Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't anything that I can necessarily say about that I would disagree with. I mean, that's actual history. I mean, and I can't disagree with it.
The only time I really, you always hear me agree with Devil's Advocate. It's not because I'm his minion. It's just if he says something that makes sense to me, that, and I use my logic, and it's clear, it makes total sense. I can't just go against it just to go against it and not sound like his minion. See, the reason that I end up arguing or having the same point of view as him all the time is because Christianity or most religions, right, are being used as a tool or a weapon to control people. And the reason I say as a weapon or a tool is because you're not really being given a choice. You're being it's being demanded of you to be this way or else. And that or else is horrible, the worst thing in the world that anybody could imagine. That's what I don't agree with.
I'm with it. I mean, I definitely.
We have another caller that just called in on the show from a 314 number. What's going on, caller?
Yeah, I was just listening to this conversation on this thing about religion, and it doesn't make you Uncle Tom. And if you look at this from two different ways, one, let's look at this void the Constitution of the United States, which permits you to have a belief or whatever you want to. And I would have to say, yes. Now, another thing. Somebody said about what the Bible, yes, the God of the Bible, God of the first five books, tell his people, who to mess with, who to marry, what to eat, so on, so on, so on. That is true. And it does that for a particular reason. It's because men created gods and religions. Religions come out of ethnic groups' culture. And it was not in the culture of that group for their sons and daughters to be marrying somebody else. And it's in many cases today that continue to go on in parts of the world. So if you want to look at it like that, yes. One thing I don't understand about blacks is why come they follow their religion anyway? They always talk about somebody getting their ass kicked. And it's really, I mean, blacks say that's us in the Bible, but you're always talking about getting your ass kicked. Why come you don't look at it from a historical point of view, which goes back beyond that particular date? And, you know, it's just like being lost in the forest. If you're lost in the forest, in the woods, you don't continue to walk around and get lost there. You go back to the point where you became lost. So why, you know, black Americans today go back to a certain point in history and just stop? And at that point in history, they're getting their ass kicked all left and right, all beat upside the head. Why not go back before that when they was doing that to other people?
Well, sir, let me ask you this question. Where are you calling from, sir? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Missouri right now.
Missouri? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have a certain belief or faith or anything like that?
I don't believe in God and don't have no need for a damn Jesus. Matter of fact, if Jesus was to show up, his ass would need to be indicted and locked up.
What makes you feel like that?
Because, it's not for me. It's for somebody, but it's not for me. Not for my family, not for my kids, not for my grandchildren.
How long have you felt like that? Were you raised with that mentality, or is that something that you learned through living life?
Well, that was something that went on in our family. My grandson is an A student in school except for one course, one class, and that's theology. He said, Papa, I just can't write down something that I know is not right. So, look at 12 years a slave. Who was teaching the slaves what? Look at the roots. Did not Kunta Kinte, was not he calling upon Allah? And Hitler, who was born in slavery, was calling upon Jesus?
Uh-huh.
I mean, just use some critical thinking on these issues. That stuff is not for us. And then here's another point. You got some around here who say that I'm Hebrew. Well, all black folks is not the same. If that's what you are, great. Stop trying to coerce and ridicule and trying to shame other blacks because they don't want to have nothing to do with it.
So you say do you have any religious people in your family at all? Does everyone feel the same way that you feel?
My immediate children do. grandchildren. I don't believe in that. And okay. Here's another point, too. If you teach your children history, the history of black African people, how could you? Also, if you teach them science, how could you?
Wow.
That's why coming young black kids failing in science, because they got this crazy notion in their head. Living to go to heaven. I don't want to go to no damn heaven. If I was, if the train stop off at that stop, I'm staying on.
Hey Swart. Well, hearing what he says, how does that make you feel?
Hey, I know who I am. If you know who you are, what somebody else say don't make you think like they think. If you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, then you're going to be, like they said, if you don't believe in something, you're going to fall for anything. So, I mean, hey, you know,
is
far
there
as
something
heaven,
you
want
to say
I mean,
to him?
Heaven, yeah,
is
heaven
there something,
is a state of mind.
Is there something that you want to? Is there something that you want to say to Mr. Missouri?
Well, I'm saying, I'm pretty sure he talked about grandkids and kids. So he's a pretty elderly man. He got some age on him, in other words, and with age come wisdom. So he's a traveler. So he traveled and. In his traveling or his research, he comes to the conclusion that he's got. He can trust God out all he wants to. God don't need me to defend him. God defends himself. And so if he talks about the Messiah, which is the one that God has chosen to save the people, that I don't want to fight with him. The reason why is because he's going to believe what he believes. He already know what I'm going to say if I choose to dialogue with him, because he's been here and he has been around my kind, not just people who believe and think like I think, but even
okay.
people who say they believe like I believe and think like I think. So he's prepared.
Okay, I
so
got one thing to say. I got you, Swart. All right, now, D.A., Mr. Missouri called in, and you are the one that on this show that any given time can take the opposing side to go against anything, because rather, it doesn't matter to you. So right now, hearing what Mr. Missouri says and how he feels, what would you have to say to him?
I would say he has a right to feel any way he chooses to feel. Who am I to tell him he can't feel or he's wrong for feeling this certain type of way? It's not my right to do so. Not only that, he has valid points for saying what he says. Now, do I necessarily say he's right in some fashions? Yes, he's totally right. In other fashions.
I want you to point at.
No. I won't. I would never say he's wrong, because it's not my place to say he's wrong. Just like I would never say Sword or you or ex-Catholic are wrong in some areas. Everybody has their own walk, their own opinion, and their own fashion
okay.
of how they live their
that.
Life.
We hear that, but
well, brother, let me those young men can't debate against me. But let me put this on the point. For instance. Deuteronomy, for the one person. Well, let me finish this. See, here's another thing. The Ethiopians in Gondor, they don't even follow nothing but the first five books. They say that's them. The rest of that stuff is not them. And historically, they're correct. It is not them. It wasn't made for them. Now, God of the Old Testament did not talk about a Jesus. He said, Israel is my son. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, for you are holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Now, how simple can that get? It can't get no simpler than that. So it's saying that because the people that wrote it for themselves. He did not write it for everybody else in the world. through force and coercion and every other thing, now you have it whereas it's supposed to be for everybody. And actually, when the Romans done, they done it for themselves. They didn't do it for everybody. So, I mean, let's look at things from a historical context. I understand about feelings. I understand about beliefs and spooked. Jesus ain't shit to me. I ain't got struck by lightning. You scared to say it? Say it. I mean, you want to say it together?
Well, I'm saying, you know, like I said, when I said earlier, right, we see that this man here is a man who has no sincere respect for another man's way of thinking or life. I said I'm open-minded.
No, I said for me. I didn't say for you. You have a, the Constitution. Okay. The Constitution of the United States is the most powerful law of this land. It protects you, whereas you can say that. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just want to speak. You know, like you said, none of us yet ain't ready to.
Hey, Ward, is your phone on speaker? Do you got your phone on speakerphone?
Say that.
I said, is your phone? Do you have your phone on speaker?
Yeah.
You got to take it off the speakerphone because it's not sounding clear.
Okay. All right. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, we hear you now.
Yeah.
Only thing that I'm saying is that part of experience and understanding deity, whether you say you deity or not, you would have a certain respect for another man's way unless you ready to go and conquer and take land. And I don't think you got your army with your grandchildren and your children prepared to take some land with helicopters and stuff. You can't fight no army with a handgun, and they got grenades. So logic telling you that you ain't ready as a man of your standard to take on war with high artillery. So we talking about debate now. I wouldn't even attempt to debate with you because really you sound like you know something, but you sound real foolish. Because the reason why I say that is because any man of understanding and who has wisdom will respect another man because respect brings respect. And you have no respect for deity, be it that you call yourself deity or your grandfather or whoever gave you what you so-called got, to be able to talk about the Messiah the way that you do. Because if you talk about him like that, you would talk about anybody like that.
Let me ask you a question.
That says something about you, that you have no respect for your own
Let
self.
Let me ask you a question.
Black, white, or yellow, or red. I don't know what color you is, but respect is seen. And respect demands respect. And you are not demanding respect the way you articulate.
Well, I'm going to show you some respect here. My name is Pianki. If you know, name reflect land, history, and culture. If you know the name, if you know your history, then you know where I and my family derive from. We were never enslaved. Wait a minute. We were never enslaved.
Why is it so quiet?
It got quiet. I thought he was going
well,
to say
saying,
something.
The truth is this. Everybody who's listening on air knows that respect brings respect. If I was a drunken man and I begins to articulate, my speech would sound slur. I would say some things that would really be contrary to order. When we talking about, okay, respect, okay, yeah, you can hear this man talk, and you can say, or we can even, and I believe we all laughed and chuckled because he's a funny type of dude. But he talks about his land, and he talks about no one can debate with him, but when you deal with wisdom, it ain't even about debate. It's about who are you, do you respect yourself? Do you respect your land and your culture? Do you know your land? It's not for me to know. your history. I better know who I am. And as long as I know whose I am, I'm fine. So you
well,
can
did
say all
oh,
what you
did
said
did your ancestors
this and call
did your
Jesus
ancestors?
That. But the truth is, I don't have to really defend him. But
which Jesus?
Respect,
which Jesus are you talking about?
We talking about the Jesus of 2,000 years ago.
That was many.
And so.
Wait a minute. Which one? There was
one.
Many.
Okay.
There was, of course. Of course,
one.
I let you slide the fact that there was nobody named Jesus back in them days. But
okay.
I understand who
okay.
you're trying to talk
and
about.
Now,
but as I said before,
the one whom the prophet said would be called Emmanuel. God.
Let me.
Ain't
nobody. Was he black? Let me ask you a question. Was he black?
Well, according to scripture, his nationality.
What no Africans calling those? What no Africans calling themselves no Emmanuel?
He was come from the tribe of Judah, and that's where you get the word Jew from. So when you get the word Jew, now whether he was a black Jew, a red Jew, or whatever, the scripture says that his skin was like brass burned in a furnace.
Well,
so, you know,
brass. Well, wait a minute. Stop
way,
right there. Stop right there.
It doesn't matter to me.
Well, let me know when
black,
I can talk.
White or whatever.
Let
it
me know
matter.
When I can talk.
You asking me what Jesus I'm talking about, and you asking me what color was he? But
all right, hold up. Now listen, I just muted everybody. Only person I didn't mute was DA. Right now, I'm going to let Mr. Missouri Bianchi, I think he said Bianchi, whatever, I'm going to let him speak and say something, then Suarez say something. So I'm going to give each one of y'all no more than 2 minutes to say what you're going to say. Then I'm going to mute you, then I'm going to let the other one speak. So here we go. Mr. Missouri, you got the floor right now.
Well, as I said before, I asked him which one. Well, nobody called Jesus back then. Second thing, people were deified. You know, great people in history, in any group, were legendized, then they became deified. Asar Seth Heru was deified. They was real live people. Another point, when you burn brass, brass does not turn black simply because pure brass does not have carbon in it. And this stuff about this person... because his feet was like brass, and black folks say, oh, he was a black man. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something now. Everything that's black is not black, and it sure is not African. So that's all I wanted to say on that.
Okay. Here we go. Sword, you got the floor, Sword.
Only thing I'm saying, you know, respect is respect. And I don't know Missouri, and, you know, might not never even see him again. I mean, I think this is the second time I heard him on Dirty Church Radio. And I wouldn't say he can't. I'm open-minded. And so, but what I'm saying is, if you're going to be a man of standard on whatever it is that you say you are articulating, and you say that you got gold, and you got some substance, and you got real knowledge, and you got something that can help somebody, you're not going to talk reckless, man, because you're dealing with a whole mass of people, and everybody, I'm pretty sure, how many with you, you know? And so in order to reach, the scripture says, the wise win souls. I know you're trying to capture the people, but this ain't no joke. You got to respect the next man. If you respect deity, you're going to respect what I'm saying.
D.A., let me hear you, D.A.
I actually have a story, and my story is there was a man, right, who actually owned a prison, and this prison consisted of all types of evil, non-moral-having men, all men, who actually done some of the most heinous crimes that this world has ever seen. He actually owned this jail and put all of these men in there. he had a, this man was married, didn't have any children yet, had actually had a hard time having children. One day, he actually had a child. He had a son. His son was innocent. His son was pure. His son was great. He was so proud of his son. He was really, really proud of his son. But he wanted to actually, for some reason, nobody knows, but when his son got of age, his son lived a very honest life. By the time he was 13, 14, 15 years old, he actually took his son and he put his son in this jail. He just put his son in a jail just because. His son went in that jail, and his son questioned, well, why would you put me in this jail? Like, why would my father put me in a place where he put all these evil, 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 evil people? And until this day, well, his son actually died in that jail. He got killed. Some person shanked him like 37 times, and he died. But my question to anybody who actually can come up with an answer, do you think that this father loved his son, like really, really loved his son, even though he put him in the jail that he built for murderers, killers, and some of the most evilest people in the whole entire world?
Okay. Bianchi, why don't you answer that question?
Well, the man done it for a particular reason. We had here in St. Louis an Arab who actually murdered his daughter because she was dating a black man, because that was not allowed in their culture. So you have to have a little bit more information about the individual. You asked about whether he loved his son. If the son done something which was against the people, against the culture, against it.
No, his son was totally innocent. His son was totally, I mean, from the story that I know, his son was totally innocent. He didn't do anything. His father just put his son inside this jail.
Yeah. Just because. Well, I'm sure. Well, maybe I don't know the story. The only thing I can say, like I did, I cross-referenced something that I know that happened here. It's in the newspaper. You can still do the Google on today. Fathers have a reason for doing things. Hell, we got black men today in prison that's innocent. So I can't address that no more than what I did.
Okay. Does anybody else have an
comment on that?
Go ahead.
I would comment on that. The love that the father had for not only for his son, he had enough within himself to know that what he put in his son was enough to save the masses of the wild men that he put him before, knowing his purity and willing to allow the wild men to slay him for his own sake, to have mercy on the ones who's willing, after they look at the one whom they have murdered, is willing to look at his son and say, I have truly violated the father, the owner of this prison. I did wrong, and I need to see the warden, the father of this son, and beg his pardon for my evil deeds. And so the father love was not only for his son, but he had enough love to spread abroad. Your love ain't no good if you only love those who love you. And you're speaking to somebody ain't no good if you only speak to those who speak to you. You know, so why do good to the ones who do good to you? Do good to them all. So my understanding is that, yeah, the father don't only love his son, whom he put out there to portray what he put in his son, because his son represents him, but also for the masses of the people, to get the people to come to the Father, seeking pardon instead of acting wild and thinking that they okay and it's going to be all right. So, but in order for them to seek the Father, they had to look at the same one son whom they stabbed 7 times.
37 times, actually.
37 times. They got to look at the one who was innocent in order to see that they was actually really filthy. So the Father truly, he didn't only love the son, he loved those that even did what he did to the son. It was all in his will to save the masses. Because again, it's his prison. And he got people in there. So he orchestrated the whole thing to purify his prison for those who choose to accept on why he would give his own son and put him with a bunch of murderers, killers, rapists, who was innocent, pure.
Listen, we got 2 minutes. I'm gonna let ex-Catholic say a little something, and then we about to close the show out, man, to the next episode. So ex-Catholic, you got like 30 seconds, bro.
All right, that was very interesting. That was beautiful. Especially that story that you guys just went through. I just basically want to say that, in my opinion, my personal opinion, I don't necessarily look at that God putting, that Father putting that son in there like he just had so much love for everyone and he was trying to give an example to the other ones. I feel like he was putting it there for entertainment purposes only. Because why would an infinite God or a father, okay, I keep going off to the God part, but why would a father even bother to play games with his child like that?
Well, I can answer that question. You're talking about the God. You know, the God of the Bible, for instance, Numbers 31, it said, cut off the feet, hang their live bodies on trees until they die, kill all the boys, and kill every woman who has slept with man. Deuteronomy 20 said, kill everything that breathes. First Samuel talks about dashing little children against rocks. Questions goes beyond that. But anyway, I really enjoyed the short time I was here. Maybe I can pick up on y'all again sometime.
Yeah, man. The next show, everyone out there, look for it, man. We're having a show. The topic is going to be called Are You Prophetic or Pathetic? That's going to be the topic of the show. Are You Prophetic or Pathetic? So listen, stay tuned to the next show. We'll be posting it coming soon Monday night, 8:30 p.m. sharp. Tune in to Dirty Church Radio where no issue or topic is out of bounds. Yo, we love y'all all out there, regardless of what you believe, what you're connected to. You know what I'm saying?
Happy New Year.
Right. This is what we do. Dirty Church Radio, 2014. This is your host, Minister J. Miller, a.k.a. Mr. Miller. Peace.